Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the radio show recorded. Well, it used to be live, but the recorded show that's all about the issues of aging, done right here in Sacramento County, California. In fact, while you're listening to this, I'm recording it. Think about that. We're doing things at the same time. It's magic. Radio is magic. Glad to have you with us. It's still serious time. I'm going to talk about stuff that you're not going to want to hear, but I'm going to talk about it. And I'm going to talk about it as I always do in light of what it means for seniors and for their families. And I'm going to talk about it in depth, and I hope you listen. I'll get to all the disclaimer stuff in it later. You already know it, and all the stuff I have to say because some idiot bureaucrat or some attorney somewhere or somebody, a nonprofit, threatens to sue me or come after me or, I don't know, hound my children or whatever it is if I don't give you all those disclaimers. If you think liberties are, never mind. We'll leave that for another day. I want to read you something. And this isn't going to get better. And nobody's going to talk about it. In February of this year, I started saying on the radio that they should be closing nursing homes. Nursing homes were going to go. Well, the boy governor of California didn't do that. The legislature didn't do that. Nobody did it. There's money for everything else, but they were so far behind the curve on this. And then when you hear the statistics here, you'll hear that so was every other governor and every other mayor and every other health guy and every other talking head that there was, every other idiot on the news at night who didn't know this. I started talking about it in February. I have talked about them closing nursing homes for the flu for years. It's a common practice. Medical people, the governor, the legislature, never see nursing homes as an extension of the healthcare system. They don't see them as a normal progression of the healthcare system. They never have. They're not doing it now, and they never will. Nursing homes aren't equipped to take ventilators. Why? They deal with sick people. They're not equipped to deal with intubation. They're not equipped to deal with isolation. They're not equipped to do that stuff. Why? Because that's not what they're about. They should be. They should be part of the normal extension of the healthcare system as we get older, because we are going to transition from home to hospitals to long-term care facilities. That's going to become a normal transition, but nobody has ever listened to me. And they're not listening to me now. I'm not on any commissions. Nobody asked me to be. They get associations. They get all the guys that own the nursing homes together, and they talk to them. They get nonprofits that make millions from suing people in nursing homes and suing nursing homes, and they talk to them. But they really don't talk to the people that are in nursing homes all the time. I've probably been in more nursing homes in more places than most people in California. I've probably been in more assisted livings in more places in California than most people, and boarding cares, and homes with sick people, and homes where people are dying and receiving palliative care or hospice care. And I've been doing it here on the air for 21 years, and in real life for over 30. Do you think there's something I haven't seen? If there is, I don't think so. That leads me to this headline. And I'll get to all the other stuff in a minute, but I want you to focus, please, if you would, on what's happening and what's going to continue to happen. And here's the tragedy. It didn't need to happen, but nobody gives a you-know-what about old people in nursing homes because they don't vote. One of the biggest, I'm gonna go into politics here a little bit, but you watch this, people. When it came time to isolate everybody, politicians had no problems pulling the trigger. None. man, we're happy to be in control. We're in control. We're going to save people's lives. You watch now when it comes time to take the controls off. They're not going to do it. They're not going to want to do it. Why? Because what if it goes south? See, there was no political loss in isolating people. The political loss now, and boy, wait until I read the statistic I'm going to read you in a minute. The political loss now is huge. Because if this, the uncoupling of this goes south, guess who's going to get blamed? So the last thing politicians want to do right now is take off the restrictions. Because now there's going to be a political cost. A very bright person who I'm not going to name, who was a political consultant, still is, for over 30 years, taught me this a long time ago. He's been doing this for 30, 35 years. There was no cost in putting on restrictions because they looked like heroes. Now when it comes time to take them off and deal with the shambles that's been left, you mark my words. Now, let me read this to you. The virus, we're living in fear while U.S. nursing homes became incubators for the coronavirus. I'm going to read this some of this to you. It's from The Guardian. And it was written by, who wrote this? It printed weird, folks, so give me a break here. What's the date on this? I'm looking for the date. It was just a couple days ago. And I'm trying to find out who wrote it because I want to give them credit for it. But I can't find that. Who wrote this? Well, you can find it. Let me go one more page. Maybe I'll find it on the last page. No, it doesn't have it. Okay. But it's from The Guardian of, you can just type it, you can Google it. The virus has swept one, we're living in fear why U.S. nursing homes became incubators for the coronavirus. It's from 2 days ago. I printed it yesterday. Let me read you the first word sentence. The virus has swept one nursing home after another, as one in five has seen an outbreak resulting in about 4,800 deaths. I'm just going to round it up to 5,000 because it will be there by the end of the week. I just have another one. This one is from Reuters that says 42 dead in coronavirus outbreak at Virginia nursing home that probably was not included in that count. I'm not doing this to be gruesome. I'm doing it for a point. People had a chance to make a difference in this and they blew it. And afterwards, I hope they're going to be held accountable for it. The governor just announced today of California that he's going to give $125 million at $500 a day or $500 checks to between 75 and 125 million. How many lives could have been saved in California if that money had been directed 2 or 3 or 4 months ago, when I started talking about it in February, 2 months ago, had been redirected to nursing homes and assisted living to get them the equipment they need and plan for this, instead of understanding that nursing homes are incubators for disease. You have frail people. You have compromised people. And people walk in and out of the buildings all day long, bringing with them every virus, every bacteria, everything known to man into those nursing homes and into assisted living. Just let's stop for a minute and think who lives in them. Frail, elderly, compromised people. Their health is compromised. They have heart disease. They have dementia. They have intestinal issues. They have diabetes. They have Parkinson's. They have MS. They have respiratory disease. They have COPD. They have AFib. They have whatever. They have all kinds of diseases. And they're where? They're in a nursing home. They're in assisted living. And who walks into that every day? Their children, their grandchildren, who do what? Bring every disease known to man. I'm not saying Folks, I've been in them for years. I'm not worried going into them. But we've never treated them as a normal continuation of the healthcare system. We've treated them as a standalone problem, and we are paying a price for having done that. We are paying a price for having not taken my advice for the last 21 years, which was all of this has to be a continuum of care. All of this has to be, you can't just make them pieces and pieces and disparate pieces. They're all part of the same thing. I have a diagram that I've been drawing for years called the chairs. And it says grandma moves through the chairs, through the system. Everything is aimed at the hospital and going back home. So we're at home. The healthcare system then is my doctor in the hospital. And then the healthcare system ends with me going back home. I tried to present this to a legislator, an idiot legislature. I can't even remember his name anymore at the state capitol years ago. And he was like, oh, well, that's all very interesting. That's all very interesting. But you got any money for me? No, I don't have any money for you. Oh, okay, well, then that's very interesting. Didn't get it. We tried several people in the legislature. They didn't get it. They never saw, and nobody sees, the assisted living and nursing homes and boarding cares as part of the continuum of care. They just see home, hospital, back home, back to the hospital, back home, back to the hospital, die in the hospital, and that's not what happens. And this is not only a fault of the legislature, it's a fault of every news organization on the face of the planet, and it's the fault of all of you listening. Because your only goal in life was to go home. And home is not where a lot of you are going to wind up. 5,000 people are dead in nursing homes because of this. I'm not counting the normal flu and the urinary tract infections and the respiratory tract infections that people get. And by the way, they get the same thing at home. So don't be trying to convince me home is always better. What I'm trying to tell you and what I'm trying to show you is that long-term care has to be part of the healthcare system. It's not hospitals. God, they're in hospitals all the time, you know, interviewing and checking and inspecting. Do you know how often anybody gets to a nursing home? Board and cares are inspected once every 5 years on average. Once every 5 years. My wife used to run a hospital lab, you know, ran hospital labs for doctors. They would check in their own labs for bacteria and viruses all the time. Can you imagine what's going on in a nursing home or an assisted living or a boarding care or in your own house? But it hasn't been part of the continuum of care. You're staying at home and the caregiver comes into your house to take care of grandma. Where's the caregiver been? Does anybody ever ask that? Does the caregiver wash their hands every time they touch grandma? Do they wash their hands before they touch grandma? Do they wash their hands? Do they wash grandma's hands after they help her go to the bathroom? I don't know. 5,000 people dead in nursing homes. I don't know how many in assisted living and in boarding cares. But I can tell you that the vast majority of people who have died of coronavirus in the United States, and what is it, 20-some thousand now, are older. They're over 50 or 60. I can tell you that with certainty. And I'm not even looking at the statistics right now, but I can tell you with a certainty that that's true. I know I sound like a one-note pony. But my note hasn't changed in 30 years, and it's not going to change. We are going to get older. You are going to get older. Your grandma's going to get older. Your granny's going to get older. Your grandpa's going to get older. Your wife's going to get older. Your children are going to get older. Everybody's going to get older. And as they get older, they're going to need more attention, and we have not been paying attention. You go to the stupid hotel and you go to a workshop and you get a trust because the idiot doing the workshop said that's all you need, and it goes to a law firm in LA where you never meet the attorney and you get it back and it's 27 inches thick and you go, oh my gosh, I'm all taken care of. No, you're not. You haven't even come close to being taken care of. And then that person disappears. I love the ones that come into town and they're over 3 days, they've done like 27 different workshops. And all I can think of, I used to go to them, but I'd get thrown out of them for asking questions. And I feel for all those people that have those kinds of documents, because here's where I want to go with the show today. 5,000 dead seniors in nursing homes. How many of their family members were able to make any decisions for them? Well, Bob, they're their family members. So what? If they don't have the right documents, they're not making any decisions. Period. They're not making any decisions at all. They're not deciding anything. They're not deciding, they're not making end-of-life decisions. They're not making pain relief decisions. They're not, they don't have documents. But it's my grandmother. Don't I get to make that? No. It's my husband. Don't I? No. Not without documents. The assumption with HIPAA is negative. The assumption is, unless I said I wanted you to make decisions, I don't. But I'm the wife, so... If you don't believe me about HIPAA sometimes, folks, if you're married, try to call up and get information on your spouse's Social Security or pensions or IRAs or 401ks or any of that stuff. Just try to call up the doctor and get your husband's medical records without permission. Go ahead. Try it. Let me know how it works out. I can tell you how. I already know how it works out. Nobody's going to talk to you. So there's 5,000 dead seniors in nursing homes. People looking through the glass at their mom watching her die. And the question that just keeps haunting me day in and day out is how many of them were able, or actually I'm going to stick with the negative, how many of them were unable to make the kinds of decisions that needed to be made? How many of them could even pick the funeral home? How many of them had access to grandma's bank account so they could go to the funeral home and pay the bill? Well, we didn't have that, Bob, because you know we didn't. It makes us uncomfortable. We don't like talking to our parents about it. It makes us uncomfortable. Well, there's 5,000 seniors dead in nursing homes. I think now may be too late to ask. Gee, it was a hard decision, and we chose not to make it. We chose not to have the talk. We chose not to be proactive. We chose to sit back on our rear ends and do nothing because it's uncomfortable. It makes me very upset and very angry when I've started reading all these. I now have a pile of this stuff, folks. It's like 2 inches thick of it's like something everybody discovered all of a sudden. Wait a minute, there's old people dying in nursing homes. How did this happen? We're so confused. I have begged reporters. I have begged people over the years to do this, to write articles about this, to make people, nobody, zero, nada. No, you're talking about old people. We don't care about old people. We want to know about whatever. Well, that's not sexy. I mean, old people dying in nursing homes, that's where they're supposed to go to. I once had a reporter say, well, isn't that where they're supposed to go to die? I'm not making that up, folks. Absolutely oblivious to the issues of aging. That's why this show has been and will continue to be California's single best source on the issues of aging. And you're lucky you get to listen to me. Thank you, KFBK. Thank you, the people that were kind enough to me 21 years ago to say Jane Einhorn of Runyon and Saltzman and Einhorn, who were kind enough to say to me, do you ever think about being on the radio? Rick Etchison and his wife, who were kind enough to say to me, did you ever think about being on the radio? No. Well, let's try something new. And we tried something new, and we staggered in at 4 o'clock in the morning, me and Kendall Toby, bless her heart, who's still with KFBK after all these years. I think she was 15 years old when she started with me as my call screener. And for 21 years, I've been saying the same thing. We're going to get older. The issues of aging are important. And now they're smacking us about like a floundering fish. And people still are not really paying attention to it. They don't get it because they don't see nursing homes, assisted living, boarding cares, and home care as the as part of the normal continuum of taking care of somebody. It's part of the medical system, but we don't see it as that. We see it, that's why I've been trying to convince people for years that nursing homes are just part of the care, of the medical care necessary to take care of grandma or grandpa or my spouse or whoever it is in the best way possible. We see it as some off, you know, when I was growing up in Phoenix, right behind where we lived was a rest home. They called them rest homes then. Why? So people could get a nice sleep? No, why did they call them rest homes? Because that's where people went to be laid to rest. Rest homes were places where you went to die. That's not true anymore. Lots of people have been in nursing homes 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years. I know somebody that's 104 who's been in a nursing home for 5 years. 5 years. I know people, I've had clients in nursing homes over 20. It's not unusual for somebody to stay home with home care for a couple years and then go to an assisted living for a couple, 3 years, and then the husband dies and the wife stays there for a couple, 3 years, and then the wife gets sick and then grandma goes to a nursing home for a couple, 3 years, and all of a sudden, without realizing it, we've spent 10 years in long-term care. So here's my offer to get you to do something. Today is the 19th of April. It's 7 o'clock, 19th of April. If you call me by 6 o'clock tomorrow night, that would be the 20th, I'll do a complete document package, trust powers of attorney. I'm licensed to do it. I'll give you that information in a minute for $500 off. I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law, but I'm a legal document assistant. I am licensed in the state of California to prepare legal documents. My license number, which is my license, which is recorded, and my bond in Sacramento County, my license number is 2004-05. It will expire in August of this year, and then I will renew it. I have been doing it for 16 years. I can do documents at your direction and request. Everything I talk about here is my opinion only. I'm not an attorney. I can't get special favors from courts, but I can make sure that you have the documents you need and, more importantly, that you want. You can direct me as to what you want. Don't miss out on the opportunity. So if you listen to this show and you get a hold of me by 6 o'clock tomorrow night, that would be the 17th of April. This offer expires at 6 o'clock on the 17th of April. I will do your document package for $500 off. Should have listened last week because I even took more off then. The people who called me then are really happy. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. 800-999-8007. Or assetsandaging.com. And if you call me, get a hold of me. We'll talk on the phone. I'll get you the information you need, and I'll take $500 off my normal price. Don't miss out on a great offer. This show's going to end in a few seconds. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you understand. Make sure that you're prepared for what may... Let's assume the coronavirus is over. People are still going to get older. They're still going to need people making decisions for them. They're still going to need people taking care of them. The issues of aging are not going to go away. You have a chance today to make a difference. Thanks for listening to this show. Thanks for being a part of it. Thanks for being a part of my audience. Thanks for understanding and caring about the things that I'm caring about. Take advantage of the offer I'm making you. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Assetsandaging.com. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. I can help. I can get you the documents you want, and I can do it in a cost-effective manner. 800-999-8007. The offer ends tomorrow, the 17th of April at 6 p.m. I hope you have a great day. I hope you're safe. I hope you enjoy your family. Talk to them, and I hope you'll continue to listen to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Have a great day. We'll see you soon. And welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, Part 2. First thing is, let me fix the mistakes I made. I gave you the wrong dates. I was looking at my computer while I was recording this, and I gave you the wrong dates because, you know, I'm not smart. I'm old, folks. Having something to drink because my voice is shot. I also did a Facebook Live today. If you haven't gone to my Facebook page to follow Facebook Live, you should. Just go to facebook.com/assetsandaging. And you can watch my Facebook Lives. They're really quite good. I do them every week, sometimes twice a week, and there's lots of information available. Make sure you listen to my podcast. My podcast this last Wednesday and next Wednesday will be on these issues. Also, probably this coming week, check my website. I will be doing some webinars. We're working on them right now. They'll be on Zoom, and they'll probably be limited in size. I'll be doing a couple of them. They're tentatively right now this coming Wednesday, but follow my website and my newsletter for more information. If you don't get my newsletter, you should sign up and get on that list. I need to take a drink of water here. Actually, it's hot chocolate. Okay, I gave the wrong dates because I'm recording this and I gave the dates that I'm recording it. I recorded it on the 16th and instead of paying attention. So the offer I made is actually you can call in, and if you reach me by the 20th of April, that's what the offer is good for. I will take $500 off a document package of trust, powers of attorney, advanced health care directives, and all those things so that you can make wise decisions for your family. All of that, again, that offer is made. It's $500 off if you call me by 6 o'clock p.m. on the 20th. I gave you the wrong dates earlier. You couldn't call me before this show actually went on the air, could you? So I think that's a great offer. The one last week was even better. So those people, the first in, got an even better deal. So those of you that have been on the fence about whether or not to do documents, I can help. I'm licensed to prepare documents and that kind of stuff. All right, I'm Bob Scrivano, your host. It's the same stuff, but just had to give you some clarification on the dates up front. Because you couldn't call me. So, again, the offer is $500 off on a trust package, wills, powers of attorney, all that stuff, if you call me by the 20th of April before 6 o'clock. Okay, let's talk. People talk to me all the time. Pardon me. I've been talking a lot this week because I'm doing a lot of things by video and that kind of stuff. And phone, normal phone calls, it might be 10 minutes long explaining something or 25 minutes long because there aren't people in my office. That's why my video podcast coming up, are going to be small, so we can look at each other from the comfort of your home and my office. People ask me all the time, Bob, well, I have a trust in powers of attorney. I went to a garage sale and they had one there, so I did it. I went to a hotel and, you know, I bought one for $400. What should it have in it? Well, everything I'm about to say, by the way, is my opinion only. I have to tell you that because it's my opinion only. And I'm telling you that because it's my opinion only. Because if I don't say that, someone will get mad. This is not intended to be a legal discourse on trust and powers of attorney. It's just general stuff. I will tell you this. It is done, however, absolutely done, however, with the keeping the issues of aging in mind. I'm not so concerned about probate. What happens after you're dead? Well, I'm concerned about it. I don't want you to die because then there won't be as many people listening to my show. But what I'm more concerned about is what happens as grandma or you progress through the chairs. We've talked about the chairs many times. As you go from being at home to assisted living to the nursing home to the hospital, back home, back to a nursing home, whatever it is. So, I'm reading some of this stuff from a handout. And one of these days I may just offer this on to everybody that emails me. But right now I'm not, prepared to do that. So this is a little handout I have on living trusts and powers of attorney. And it's not intended to be exhaustive. It's intended to be an outline. And let me read a couple things from it or paraphrase a couple things from it. One of the things that a trust does is it generally avoids probate. Now, normally I say generally because that means that that's assuming your trust has been fully funded. What do I mean by that? I mean by that that your house, your bank accounts, the things that are supposed to be titled in the name of your trust are. I have seen trusts where assets have gone through probate even though they had a trust because they didn't have, the assets weren't titled in the name of the trust. They had kept a bank account out. They kept their rental house out. They forgot to put their house in the trust. They forgot to put their brokerage account in the trust. So having a trust in and of itself doesn't avoid probate. A fully funded trust avoids probate. A correctly funded trust avoids probate. So when you're looking at all of this stuff, we start with that. So does having a living trust automatically protect my assets from healthcare costs? No. A revocable trust does not protect anyone from the claims of creditors or that kind of stuff. What it does do, again, pardon me for taking a drink, but my throat is raspy when I'm talking. What it does do is it creates a matrix in which we can put language that will allow someone to make decisions for you that could help protect what you have. So, for instance, I got a phone call yesterday, I think it was yesterday or day before, I can't remember when. And mom's going in, a sister is going into a nursing home, and how are they going to pay? Well, my first question was, well, does your sister have who has your sister's power of attorney? Well, I do. Well, what does it say? Well, I don't know. I just know I have it. Well, what it says is going to become really important. So simply having one doesn't automatically protect anything. It's all about the language. So here's some of the language. Here's some of the provisions that should be in a trust. And a lot of them in a power of attorney, and I'll tell you. First of all, we have to make sure who can amend it. So can mom and dad amend it either or can mom and dad amend the trust? Does it take both of them? That's really an important thing. If one of them dies, can the survivor amend the trust? In a lot of older trusts in particular, if dad dies, mom can't amend the trust because it took both of them to do it. So you have to look at that language. Is there authority in the trust and power of attorney to apply for government benefit? Who can apply for Medi-Cal? Who can check with Medicare? Who can check the status of Social Security? Who can apply for, what if we're applying for VA benefits? Who's authorized to apply for VA benefits, government benefits? I don't know. You have to look. It's your documents. So when you're looking through your documents, you can look and see if you can find that. Is that language in there? Is there the authority to maximize eligibility for government benefits? I'll explain more about that in a minute, but I don't, not just to apply, but can I get the most possible? Is that language in there? Is there the authority to take all steps necessary to create eligibility for a government benefit, like, let's say, Medi-Cal? So, for instance, can we make gifts? We might want a gift. Does the power of attorney, does the trust say that you can make gifts? Does the power of attorney say that you can make gifts? Is there a limit on those gifts? Can you make gifts to the other spouse, or can you make gifts to another trust? Can you create a trust? Can you create an irrevocable trust using the power of attorney? Can the gifts be unlimited, or are they limited? I see all the time in powers of attorney, well, it says, well, we can make gifts. But then it will say, but we can't make gifts to the agent. The agent is the person holding the power of attorney. Usually someone we probably want to make gifts to, our spouse or our children or whoever. If you're married, is there the authority in the documents to undo community property? Oh, Bob, why would we want to do that? Well, mom and dad own a house together as community property. And dad goes into a nursing home, and dad's never coming out. If mom dies first, who gets the house? I'm confused. All right, let me go through it again. Dad goes in a nursing home. He's not competent. They own the house as community property in their trust because it's community property trust. Mom, the well spouse, dies first. Who owns the house? Dad, where's he? In a nursing home. Is that a good circumstance? Maybe not. Maybe we want the authority in the documents to deal with that kind of stuff, because remember, we're looking through the plate glass window at grandma inside the nursing home. So I said in the first half hour, 5,000 seniors have died in nursing homes. Who was able to make decisions for them at the during all that time? There's 1 million people in nursing homes in the United States. Who's able to make decisions for them right now? Because nobody's getting in those buildings. And so documents are what we're going to live with. Do your documents have the language that I've been talking about? Should they? I don't know. I don't know your family. I'm telling you generally, it's a good idea. Is there the authority to irrevocably transfer assets to heirs while living? Can we transfer assets from mom and dad to the heirs even if everybody's still alive? There might be times we want to do that. I don't know. Do your documents have that authority? Is there the authority for either trustor, either creator of the trust, to amend the trust? Can you amend or alter or create a trust using a power of attorney? All of these authorities are all happen while someone's still alive. Most documents are looking at what happens when someone's dead. I think another really important question to ask is, are your powers of attorney springing or immediate? I've talked about that before. Remember, I'm not an attorney. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only. I am licensed to prepare legal documents, but this is my opinion only. A springing power of attorney usually only goes into effect when two doctors say that dad is not competent, or mom, whoever it is. In my world, I don't want that. When my mom was dying, I don't want to have my mom declared incompetent. I just wanted to be able to make the decisions for her that I needed to make to keep her comfortable and keep her where we thought she was well taken care of, because she wasn't capable of making those decisions on her own. Immediate powers of attorney are powers of attorney that go into effect the day they're signed. So we don't have to go get any letters. My mom's power of attorney was immediate, so either my brother or I could make decisions. There needs to be very specific language that deals with people who are aged, incompetent, incapacitated, or frail. It's extremely important. Also remember, there are two powers of attorney that we're usually talking about. One for finance, which is the one I'm talking about now, and one for health care. Remember, the one for health care doesn't allow you to make financial decisions, and the one for financial decisions doesn't allow you to make health care decisions. Avoid boilerplate documents, the kind that you get somewhere that are just full of blanks and you fill in the blanks, or the kind with little boxes on the left where you check them off or write your initials in or check the one that says all of the above. Avoid those, but yet lots of people have them. Avoid trust mills, please. That's the kind of stuff where you see it on the internet. They're all over the internet, folks. I can't tell you. I could find 500 of them in the next couple hours. You want somebody that's going to talk to you about this, that knows. I've been thrown out of a lot of trust mill seminars, a lot of them, because I raise my little hand and I go, well, you just said this, but what about this? I remember there was a designation going around years ago called, I won't tell you what it was called. Yes, I will. It's called a CSA, Certified Senior Advisor. And the Department of Insurance has now said you can't use that. It's not good and all that kind of stuff. So somebody said, Bob, you should go to this seminar and you should become a Certified Senior Advisor. Well, that sounds good. It was a two-day seminar over in the Bay Area. I thought, I'll go to the Bay Area. I'll have some good food. I'll hang out. It'll be great. This is before San Francisco had become what it is now. This is when it was still a great city. And so I went, and I went, and I came home the same day, the first day. Why? Because I asked questions. And finally, they took me outside and said, would you stop asking questions? And I said, but your speaker keeps saying the wrong things. Your speaker doesn't know what they're talking about. Your speaker is from Virginia or someplace and keeps talking about Medi-Cal as if we were in Virginia, and we're not in Virginia, and I can't let the bad information go on. And they said, well, how about if we refund your money and you go home? And I said, okay. Because I knew they were, you know, they had asked me to leave because I was interrupting. They didn't want to hear the truth. And I can't help over the years trying to figure out how many of those people that had that designation, which basically allowed them to sell a specific insurance product, how many people had that designation, advised seniors, and had no idea what they were talking about because the information they were receiving was not good. Avoid boilerplate or seminar, you know, the hotel seminars. When I do a workshop, I do it, and I do it sitting down in front of people. Well, not right now. We're going to do them on webinars. So check out my website for webinars this week or next. But the speaker is just getting paid, and then it goes to a law office somewhere in L.A. that you've never met anybody, and you get the trust for $400, and you think you've got a good thing, and you've got the $45 a month maintenance thing that goes on forever. And what you have is something that will avoid probate in most cases, but will not deal with anything as it relates to the issues of aging. I just cannot begin to tell you how important it is, as I said in the first half hour, that the documents you have work. You heard what I talked about. You heard about the 5,000 seniors that have died in nursing homes. And my question remains the same. By the way, that number will continue to go up. It's not going to go away. It will continue to go up. What documents did these people have in place that allowed someone to make decisions for them because they couldn't? They were in a nursing home. So what allowed them to make decisions? Documents. I can help. I told you at the end of the last hour that I had a special offer. I'm licensed to prepare documents. I have a legal document assistant license here in beautiful downtown Sacramento County. My license number is 2004-05. You can look it up. My bond is recorded. I'm bonded. My bond is recorded in Sacramento County. My license expires 8/24/20, at which point I will renew it. I've had my license for 16 years. I can do legal documents at your direction and request. And my documents focus on the issues of aging. Yes, they're going to help with probate. Yes, they're going to help with all that kind of stuff. Yes, they're going to make sure your stuff goes to your kids like all normal trusts do. But there's also in them language which deals with the issues of aging. I'd like to say I developed it all my own, but no, over the years, people like me and a few elder law attorneys that really know what they're doing have developed language over the years that deals with the issues of aging. I can tell you right now that most attorney-drafted documents do not have language that deals with the issues of aging, including, I've just seen a lot of stuff, folks, and just because somebody... Do you know that there's no elder training in law school? I was talking to an attorney the other day, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's a judge, and in law schools, there's no there's estate planning, how to do a trust for probate, how to do a will, but there's no discussion. Even though we have 10,000 people a day turning 65, law schools do not teach attorneys how to deal with an aging population and the special needs of that aging population. It's not dealt with at all. They're expected to learn that after they leave law school if they want to. I find that astonishing, but it's true everywhere. There's no law school that they knew of between the two of them that did any of that, that really had a whole section on elder issues. I just find that interesting. Take that for what it's worth. So I can help. If you now listen, these will be the correct dates. If you get a hold of me, today is the 19th of April. I gave you the wrong dates in the first half hour. If you get a hold of me by 6 o'clock tomorrow, which would be the 20th of April, I will take $500 off a complete trust, will, power of attorney package. Ignore the dates in the first half hour. They were wrong. If you get a hold of me by the 20th of April at 6 o'clock, I will take $500 off a complete trust, will, and power of attorney package. If you have an existing trust and you think it's a trust mill trust or an older trust that's out of date, I can help with that too, and you'll also get the $500 off. This is not an offer to do legal work. I'm not an attorney. I'm an LDA, but I can prepare documents at your direction and request. I'm taking a great risk in doing this because there are a lot of people who don't like what I do, folks. Just trust me with this. But I thought it was important, given that this is where I live, is in this community, and where I live is in the aging community, and that I've been dealing with the aging community for a long time and been in nursing homes and watched all this happen and watched the fact that no politician cares. Nobody sees long-term care as part of the continuum of medical care. They see it as a set-aside. I thought it was important that people be prepared. And I can't help wondering, I wonder today, of these 5,000 people who have died in nursing homes so far in the United States, how many of their family members were able to really make decisions and manage their care at the end of life? How many? And I'll bet you it's less than half. We'll never know, but I can tell you it's a lot. And that's not counting all the people who are older and are sick. What, there's a million people, 800,000 people that have, most of those are aging. Most of those are aging people in the United States. Who's making decisions for them? Who's going to deal with their finances? Who's going to deal with their well spouse who has dementia? Who's going to deal with all the stuff that comes with the normal issues of aging, let alone this? So I'm making you this offer. If you call me before the 20th, April the 20th at 6 o'clock, and we arrange to do this, I'll do a complete trust and power of attorney package for $500 off. If you don't want to do it with me, go to somebody and get it done. Go to somebody and get it done. What you gain with me is a world of knowledge and someone doing documents at non-attorney prices. It'll be cheaper. And they'll be done and well done and done the way you want them to be done. That's my goal. 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or go to assetsandaging.com, 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 800-999-8007. I hope this was helpful to you. I hope you take advantage of the offer. I hope you're at my next set webinar and that you're here with me next Sunday, same time, same place. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for being a faithful listener. Let me know if this is helpful and make sure you follow me on Facebook Live, facebook.com/assetsandaging. I hope you have a great time, a great day, and you stay close and love your family. Bye-bye.